Praise God. Let us just open in a word of prayer. Father, this evening we come before you, my God, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, recognizing, Father God, that Lord, down here living, Father God, in this world, in a world that has seemingly been turned upside down by the forces of hell, with evil all around us. My Father, with the things that we hear on the radio, the things we see and hear on television, things we read in the paper, the things we experience, Lord, in our everyday life, Lord, the things our children become involved in, Father. So many times, Lord, as they would go to school or Lord, to go out on their jobs, or Father, just evil all around us. And Father, we are so thankful tonight that, Lord, that we don't have to give up hope. Lord, that we don't have to lay down, as it were, and surrender to the forces of hell and just say, Lord, just hurry up and take us out of here. Lord, we can rise up and stand up tonight. Father God, and I believe in the midst of it all, we can live and walk a victorious life in Christ. Lord, because you've said that we are more than conquerors. Father God, and we stand tonight, Lord. Father, we stand tonight in thy strength and in thy power, knowing, Lord, that we are no match for the evil in this world. We're no match for the devil, Lord, and his legions of fallen angels and demon powers and spirits. We're no match for them, Father, within our own self. It's only, Lord, as we stand filled with the mighty Holy Ghost, recognizing, Father God, our authority as a believer, recognizing, my Father, that you have given us power over all the power that he possesses, that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions, that we can cast out devils, and Lord, we can stand victorious against the onslaughts of hell. Recognizing this, my Father, tonight, we just humbly say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making this possible. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the truths of deliverance to the babes, as it were. Lord, you've said that you've hid it from the wise and prudent, but you've delivered it. You've revealed it to babes, to those that approach your word. Lord, even as a small child, believing, Father God, and receiving what they read or see in the word. And Lord, in these, Father God, you have revealed, Lord, truths, and you're bringing them into all truth. And we thank you for this tonight, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we commit ourselves into your hand. This service, Father, we commit it into your hands. We ask, Lord, that you take complete charge. Do whatever tonight that is pleasing to you and whatever is needful in the lives of your people. And Father, we just place ourselves under the blood of Christ, and we come against and bind the powers of hell that would try to hinder or disrupt or interfere with what God's done tonight. We bind and we forbid your intrusion in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for the results that's going to come forth tonight, for the deliverance, Lord, that's going to be wrought among your people tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If any of you were listening to the radio in the last couple of weeks, how many have been listening to the radio? Well, bless God, if you was listening to it, you'll know that I've had on some sermons that was preached by the late Brother A.A. Allen. Testimonies of individuals that were set free from demon bondage through the powerful ministry of the late Brother Allen. And I intend to, in the days ahead, as God permits to me to, I'm going to continue to air some of the sermons preached by the late Brother Allen, Jack Cole, and others. Because I happen to believe, amen, that those brothers had a real word from the Lord. I believe that Brother Allen had a real ministry of deliverance. How many believe that? Say amen. Amen. See, I don't care what people say about any of these ministers that were on the scene for a while and then went on home to be the Lord, you know, the devil will always trump up something to say about somebody. They was either this or they was that. They lived in fornication. They was a drunk. They did this. They did that. You know, so many times what that is speaking is nothing but pure spiritual jealousy. Them men had a ministry, bless God, that was given to them by God that makes a lot of preachers in the land today very jealous. And so they have to trump up something, charges against them, you know, while they're on home to be with the Lord. You know, they tried it while they were here, and they're still trying to trump up some kind of messed up charges against this one or that one or that one. But you know, every time you talk to people along the lines of deliverance, or you try to get this ministry over to people, Christians that is, they'll come up with all kinds of reasons why that it can't be, or why they will not receive the deliverance ministry. And one of the things that people always say to me, you know, now and in the years gone by, they'll always say to me, well, brother, how come that's not Scripture? Show me that in the Scripture. If I see it in the Scripture, I believe it, but if I don't see it in the Scripture, I ain't going to believe it. Stuff like this. It's not Scripture. Well, a long time ago, when God called me into this ministry, amen, I spoke with the Lord. And I was, you know, before God, it's sort of like, Lord, now listen, I'm not going to go out there. I've not been to no Bible school. I ain't learned all of this stuff that folks say you have to learn and all this. And you've given me a message for your people. Now let me tell you something. Those theologians will chew me up and spit me out in little tiny pieces if you don't give me some Scripture to back it up. And you give me Scripture to back it up and I'll stick to it. Bless God, I'll stick to it like super glue, praise God. All it needs me is some Scripture to back up what it is you're showing me. And I'll tell you something, brother. There is plenty of Scripture to back it up. And when folks say to you, show me that in the Scripture, get your pencil and paper out and mark a few Scriptures with me, and if a man ever says that to you again, just go take him through the Word of God. Because tonight, I'm going to talk to you, amen, and give you scriptural proof, scriptural evidence that deliverance is the children's bread, that it belongs to the people of God. Amen. And I intend to use this tape. I intend to put it on the radio. I intend to make it available to anybody that may want it. Amen. And they can study it at their leisure. They can study the Scriptures. Praise God. And let the Holy Ghost speak to them himself and really confirm it in their spirit that this thing is for God's people. So we're going to, as I said, look at some Scripture. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God where it's 100 deliverance, the casting out of devils out of God's people is 100% Scripture. It's for God's people. It's not for the devil's people or the world. It's for God's. It belongs to the children of God. And the first thing I want to share with you, because it's important that you see this, and we're going to go step by step and do it closely. Now, every one of you folks that come here, you know, you're brought here by the Holy Ghost. The devil didn't bring you. The Holy Spirit brought you. And God wants you to be aware of these truths that I'm going to be sharing with you. He wants you to have them marked down in your Bibles because you're going to be called upon to teach others in the days ahead. Wherever you go, I see three people over here from Philadelphia that's called to a ministry of deliverance in Philadelphia. Amen. It was confirmed through prophecy a couple of weeks ago. Amen. And this sister's in here taking notes, getting set, praise God, so that she can go into the Word, amen, and show people from the Word of God where this thing is real, amen. First thing I want to share with you is the fact that a man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Everybody in here knows that, don't you? Well, then you also ought to know that when you are born again, the new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. There is nothing that happens to the physical body when you were born again. The physical body was the same old physical body as it was before you got saved. The only thing happened to you, as I said, is the nature of the devil was driven out of you. The nature of God was imparted to you. You became the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus when you asked Christ to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. You were born again. It's something that happened in the spirit. There's no devils down there in the spirit of a man. None whatsoever. Those devils is exactly where Paul said they was in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, I find out that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul had a real salvation experience on the road to Damascus. And he was trying to walk in it. And Paul said, something's going haywire here. He says, the thing I want to do in my heart or in my spirit, he said, I find that there is something within this physical body that wants me to do the opposite. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. He said, I've come to a conclusion that there is something in this flesh that isn't any good. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. What do you suppose are the no good things that live within the flesh of a man? Do you suppose it could be evil spirits? Certainly. Within the flesh, within the soulish realm, within the personalities, if you please, of individuals is where evil spirits dwell. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And Paul made a distinct and clear difference there in the 7th chapter of Romans, because he started out by saying, in me, he said, I mean in my flesh dwelleth nothing good. Not in me, the real man, the spirit man. Paul was saying there is something good there. I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I've been born again. He said, but in this flesh dwells nothing good. So if you can get a picture of that to start with, where evil spirits are, they are in the flesh realm, in the outer man, in the personality, in the mind, in the soulish realm. This is where evil spirits are. There's absolutely nothing that happens to the body, to the mind, or anything else that has to do with the outer man when you were saved or born again. It all takes place in the spirit. Now get that straight, and we'll go right on and look at some scriptures. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 5 to 8, I want to read a few verses of scripture. It says, when Jesus called the 12 to him, he says, he sent them forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, or unto any city of the Samaritans, you enter not there. At this particular time, salvation hadn't come to the Gentiles. This is why Jesus was saying this, don't go to the Gentiles. Amen. He says, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to my chosen people. Go to the apple of my eye. Go to the ones I have chosen. Go to my people. Go to the ones that are believers, the ones that are looking forward to the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. Go to them, Jesus says. And when you go preach, tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, heal their sick, cleanse the lepers, raise their dead, and cast the devils out of them. Now, who's he saying to cast the devils out of? The children of Israel. Not the Gentiles, not the world, he says, but go to the children of Israel. Tell them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you go, I want you to minister life to them. Get the devils out of them. Cleanse their lepers. Raise their dead. Cast out the devils. And he also says, and don't charge them a nickel for it. Now let me tell you something. That right there is a sermon. Don't line them up and get a $5 line, a $10 line, a $25 line, whatever. Amen. Or don't bring them up and give them $100 prophecies and $20 prophecies. Amen. Which lets you know one thing. That I don't care who he is, if he's walking the face of this earth and if he's done that, then he is not sent and he's not anointed and led to do that by the Lord. Or the Lord has changed. He's not the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus said, don't charge him a nickel. Amen. Isn't that what he said? And later on, he even told me, don't take no money with you either. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to meet your needs. Glory to the name of the Lord. Every time I hear about people doing these things, I shake my head and say, oh, Lord, why don't God's people wake up? Why don't they wise up? I was in a place one time and had a man, had one of the most powerful anointed ministries, I guess, in the land today. And brother, he said this. He said God had showed him there was, I think he said 11 or 7, I forget which, that was going to come up to him and was going to reach out and put a $100 bill in his hand, or $100. And he said, I have a word of prophecy for everybody that gives me a $100 bill. God shows me there at least, he either said 7 or 11, I forget which. Well, when I looked at the line, there wasn't 7, it looked like there were 70. Or 107. And I stood there and I watched that man give a prophecy to everybody that came up and gave him that $100 bill. Isn't that something? Folks, let me tell you something. I wouldn't have gave 3 cents for that prophecy. Because God don't sell his blessings to nobody, dear God in heaven. He's going to charge you to speak a word to you. I'd rather go out in the barnyard and have him speak through a jackass. I'd receive it quicker than I would that way. I'm telling you the truth. You ain't catch me in no line giving nobody money to hear from God. Isn't that awful? But the poor, friends, let me tell you something. That's fleecing the sheep, whether you know it or not. That's merchandising the gospel. That's spoken against in the word of God. And let me tell you something. There's a whole bunch of devils operating behind that. I don't care how many miracles is being wrought in a man's ministry. There's a terrible mixture there. Jesus says, go to my people, get them healed, get the devils out of them, and don't you charge them a nickel. Don't take no money for it. Brother, I'm afraid if you do, you might have to answer to God. You start charging people to lay hands on them and pray for them. Dear God in heaven. But deliverance, when he sent them forth, he said, "It's go to my chosen people, go to the house of Israel. Cast the devils out of them. Cast the devils out of them." In Matthew, the 15th chapter, the same book of Matthew, verse 26, it talks about the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, who had a daughter that was vexed with the devil, grievously vexed. And we all know the story about the Canaanite woman. Jesus began to talk to her and say to her, he said, deliverance, what you're asking belongs to the children. He said, it's the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to the children of Israel. Once again, he said, it belongs to my people. It belongs to my covenant people. Are we in a covenant with God tonight? Then deliverance must belong to us, doesn't it? If it belonged to his covenant people yesterday, bless God, it ought to belong to us today. Can you say amen? He says, deliverance is the children's bread. He says, you don't know what you're asking. You're asking me to cast a devil out of your daughter, and this belongs to the children of God. And she kept pleading with him. And how many knows that faith moves God? And she come up with some great faith. I don't have to go into the story, but it moved God in behalf of her little daughter. But let me just share something with you. What God showed me about the children's bread. He said, this is the children's bread. Now, we can't understand that in the hour in which we live, when there are so many things available as substitutes for bread and so forth and so on that we can eat. But back then, my friends, let me tell you something. Bread was a very important part of the diet of the people that lived on the earth then. It was a necessary part of your diet. My friends, if you had bread and meat and something to drink, you were living like a king. In fact, the prophet of old, when God sent the raven with food for the prophet of old, what did the raven bring him? He brought him meat and he brought him bread, and he was standing beside a brook. So he had meat, he had bread, and he had water. He had a meal fit for a king. Can you say amen? Now today you'd say, is that all he brought? How about the dessert? How about the strawberry shortcake? How about the coffee? How about the appetizers? That's a society in which we live. But back then, my friends, when you had bread and meat and something to wash it down with, you was living like a king. So when Jesus said deliverance is the children's bread, it belongs to the children. In other words, it's a part of their diet. A necessary part of their diet. I mean, that speaks strong to me. It's a very necessary part of your diet, my brothers and my sisters, deliverance. Understanding deliverance, getting the devils out of you and keeping them out. And let me tell you something else. Deliverance is a walk. It's not something that you go through once and forget about it. That's behind us. Like a brother said, I went through deliverance 5 years ago. Let's go on to the deeper things of God. All the time he was saying it was a devil talking through him. Isn't that awful? You folks are way down yonder. That's the devil's crazy. You folks in this deliverance stuff, my God. Now here's a spirit of pride talking too. My God, 5 years ago we went through that. Man, come on up here where we're at now. And looking down at you, you're still way down there wallowing in that mess. You just look at him and say, man, that's the biggest devil I ever seen in my life talking. That story had a happy ending because he was told exactly what it was talking. He went home and thought about it, repented, and came back and said, I believe you're right. Amen. He got things right. Amen. Praise God for it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not something that you go through once and forget about it, because how many knows there's always going to be a devil until, bless God, he is taken by that angel and threw in to the bottomless pit and so forth and so on, and then chained up for 1,000 years, and then later on loosed a little while, and then taken and threw into the lake of fire. Amen. That when mankind's going to be finished with the devil is when he's actually threw into the lake of fire, because he's going to be loosed at the end of the millennial reign. I don't want to get into that, but what I'm saying to you is, as long as there is a devil, as long as there is demon spirits, as long as there is fallen angels, as long as there is evil on this earth, and as long as we are in a body of flesh, subject to temptation, subject to fall, subject to sin, and evil spirits enter man through sin, then we're always going to have to understand and walk in deliverance. Can you say amen? There's always, you don't go through deliverance and say, I went through that 10 years ago. Well, how about a year ago? Maybe you got caught up in fornication or something. What'd you do? You know, where did it, you don't follow what I'm saying. Brother, it's a walk. You have to walk in deliverance. Believe me, you may have got delivered yesterday or a year ago or 2 years ago. You may have sinned last night in a moment of weakness. You may have opened yourself up and let a devil get in you, because that's one of the ways they come in, friends, is through sin, your involvement in sin. So as long as there is a devil, and as long as there is old weak human flesh roaming this earth, flesh that hasn't been redeemed yet, amen, in the truest and fullest sense of the word, if we haven't put on glorified bodies, we still got an old mortal body, a body that's subject to lots of things. And folks, let me tell you something. As long as that condition exists on planet Earth, let me tell you something. You need to understand and walk in deliverance, because you can open yourself up to demon spirits. The number one way, speaking of sin, that evil spirits gain entrance into a person is through sin, their involvement of sin. That's the number one way. There's other ways. I may talk about some of them, but the number one way is through a person's involvement in sin. Now, let me tell you something right now. An evil spirit will not leave that individual that they entered into when that individual sinned. That evil spirit will not leave that individual until that individual confesses that sin before God and gets it right, and then that spirit has to be cast out. Confessing the sin don't get the devil out. Confessing the sin brings you into a place with God where you can take and put the devil out, because he hides behind unconfessed sin. He came in through the sin. He hides behind the sin. When you confess it before God, you are forgiven of the sin. The Bible says you're cleansed from it. And there is the devil on property that he has no business being on, because that sin that you was involved in that gave him a legal right to come in is now under the blood. Can you say amen? Amen. But I'll still tell you this. The devil will not leave until he is put out. See? Until he's put out. And this is what confuses a lot of Christians. Well, I know I committed adultery 7 years ago or 6 years ago or 2 years ago, but I confess that sin, they tell me. I say, well, that's good. You're forgiven. How do you feel? Well, Brother Hal, can be honest with you, there isn't hardly a night that I lay in my bed that I don't think about that affair I had. I have nightmares. I have bad dreams. And sometimes I'll get a vision of it. It's just like it was yesterday. And I'll say, well, now, let me just say something to you right now. You know what that is there? They say, Brother Halcombe, I'm ready to believe anything you say now. I say, that's the devils that came in when you committed this act. You got your forgiveness, but you didn't get the devils out. Now, let's get the devils out, and then you won't have them problems anymore. Get the devils out of people, and they'll come back later on. Man, I mean, got a smile on their face, praising God all over the place. Glory to God, I ain't never felt so good in my life. See, they got the devils out. But the church, see, this is a big error the church is in. They always say, well, we confessed our sin. We confessed. So, bless God, that's great. Confessed it. You've got your forgiveness. And how about the devil? If you opened yourself up to the devil through sin, you confess the sin, got it right with God, then you have to take steps to kick him out. And he's only going to go out when he's cast out in the name of Jesus. Now, you know yourself. Now, doesn't this say to you that deliverance is for God's people? Because how many know you can't confess a sin to God as a child of the devil and receive forgiveness from God? If you're out there in the world, a lot of people try it, and you commit all kinds of sins. Now, you don't know Christ. You've never been born again. You've never been saved. You commit all kinds of sin. You say, Lord, I confess that sin of adultery or whatever it was you committed last night. The Lord don't hear that prayer. The only prayer that God hears from an unsaved individual is a prayer of repentance, a prayer of asking Christ to come into their lives as their Lord and Savior. Do you believe that? You've got to become a child of God. You've got to get on praying grounds. I'm serious about that. The devil be laughing at you. You say, well, Brother Halcombe, that's Scripture. Certainly, that's Scripture. John 9:31 says, you know that God don't hear a sinner's prayers. Isn't that what he says? Read it sometime. You know God don't hear them kind of prayers. Brother, the prayers that God's going to hear is a prayer, a cry from his people. Amen. A cry of repentance when they have sinned. And if you're out there in the world, the only prayer that God's going to hear from you is, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I receive Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. And by an act of will, I make him my Lord tonight. I believe this in my heart. Jesus, come into my life as my Lord and Savior. That's the kind of prayer that God listens to from a person out there in the world. Amen. You come on into the kingdom. Bless the name of the Lord. And begin to get rid of sin and the devil. Now listen, let me just say something right now to you. And you think about it for a moment, because these things are so clear to me, that's just the clearest things that I possibly, it's just clear. You need help messing it, getting it messed up. Amen. Many Christians, now remember I said, evil spirits, the primary way they come into a person is through their involvement in sin, whether you're saved or unsaved. Out there in the world, you still got to get involved in certain types of sin in order to pick up them particular spirits. Now, they can be passed down through ancestral sins. We'll get into that maybe in a moment. But when you come into the kingdom of God, you come just as you are. You follow what I'm saying? You come into the kingdom of God, come just as you are. Bless God, God will forgive you for your sins. He will throw, bless God, them into the sea of forgetfulness. He'll remember them no more. But as I said, the way devils are going to leave God's people is when that sin is repented and turned away from, and that devil is cast out. How many know there's a lot of Christians right now that's been saved for 20 years, and they still haven't repented of the sin that they was involved in 30 years ago in the world? They brought it into the church with them, and they're still, bless God, involved in the same sin. I'm serious. I talked to two people this morning. Amen. Been saved for a long time. Got two or three children. Amen. And have never taken the marriage vows, and they're still living the same way they lived however many years ago out there in the world. You follow what I'm saying? There's people that come into the kingdom, they were involved in drugs. They come into the house of God, they still are doing drugs. They were involved in witchcraft, they still are doing witchcraft. They were involved in this, they're still doing it. Some Christians still haven't put away the sin that they was involved in the world. Now, that's what I'm trying to show you something here. Evil spirits leave individuals when they confess that sin and turn from it. Turn from it. That is the that, then you come on, you get on grounds then to have the devils put out of you, cast out of you. I'm trying to show you scriptural evidence that deliverance belongs to the people of God. Now you tie all this together with First John 1:9, for example. He says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you for your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now how many knows that 1 John 1:9 belongs to the people of God? It doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to the people of God. Amen. All the epistles were written to the children of God, not to the world. That's God's letters to you, the church. So if we believe evil spirits enter into an individual through their involvement in sin, and 1 John 1:9 lets us know that plenty of us sin because he said, Jesus, let me tell you something. If you sin, you're not done for. You're not cast down. You're not cast aside. If you confess the sin, he is faithful and just. He'll forgive you for that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you something, my friends. The forgiving and cleansing process of God deals with the devils if you'll only believe it and receive it. When Christ forgives you, my friends, and Christ cleanses you from sin, let me tell you something. If the Church of Jesus Christ would only recognize that deliverance is right in there, bless God, cast out the devils. Jump in there and get the devils out of the individuals. Praise God. Because I'll tell you something right now. If you just confess the sin and receive your forgiveness and don't do something about the devils that came in through your involvement in sin, those devils are still going to be in that flesh and they're still going to torment you. Bless the name of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Okay. I said that your involvement in sin was the number one way that evil spirits enter into a person. There are other ways. Exodus 34 verse 7 tells us many times that children of God or children or God's people can, however what way you want to say it, bless God, they can need deliverance because of the sins of their ancestors. God says in Exodus 34, 7 that he'll visit the sins of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. A lot of people are bound up with witchcraft and all types of occult devils and everything else. Has nothing to do with their particular lifestyle, but it has to do with their ancestors. Ancestral devils. I've run into this. I've experienced this. Amen. I've experienced this. I was praying with a young black man one time. And I just was led of the Lord to say to speak to those devils, and I said, any ancestral devils, I command you to come out of this man in Jesus Christ's name. And devils begin coming out one right after the other and screams and everything else. Well, when he got delivered, he was so happy. He said, Brother Halcombe, you'll never believe it what I'm going to tell you. I said, yes, I will. Praise God, you go ahead and you know, just lay it on me. I'll guarantee you I'll probably believe it. He said, when those devils was leaving me, he said, I had a vision. And he said, I saw over there in Africa someplace, right down by a stream of water in a big, heavy jungle. He said, I saw a bunch of people, he said, and they were worshiping some type of demon gods and things on poles and whatever and bowing down and all this. He said, Brother Halcombe, the strangest thing was, he said, them people look like me. I said, what do you mean they look like you? Black? I'm saying this to the brother. He said, no, the features, they look like me. And then the Lord begins speaking, you know, ancestral spirits that came right down on this boy. Now, I will say this, you know, this is one type of ancestral bondage that black people can be in. Now, with the Spanish people, it's something else, understand? It's the Spanish people, I mean, you know, there's something there too. Believe me, I've dealt with those individuals. The Italians, there is something else. Their ancestors are involved in something else. How many have ever heard of the evil eye and things of this nature? Amen. I minister with people that were in bondage along these lines. One woman in Philadelphia, because her grandmother, she told me, used to put the evil eye on folks and all this mess. I'm telling you something, folks. All this is, this thing is real. Amen. But it was ancestral bondage passed right on down. Some people are Indians in this country. They are in bondage. If you trace it right back, bless God, you'll find out it comes right down from, it may have come down from Sitting Bull. I don't know. Or somebody passed on down. I'm serious about that. But you trace that stuff back sometime. I ministered to one Indian girl, and I'll guarantee you that that devil had to come. He had to come from Sitting Bull. Because I run into a devil of stubbornness. Now, I'm telling you the truth. And I was casting them devils out, and I said, "You devil of stubbornness," I got the name. I said, "Now, come out of this girl." Let me tell you something. She sat down. My wife will tell you that. She's right there. She sat down like this, straddle-legged on the floor. Amen. And put her arms, just crossed them on her chest like this. And she sat there, and she tucked that, that real look. And I said, "Come out in Jesus' name, you devil of stubbornness." And she just went like this. I said, "Lord have mercy. That devil had to come from Sitting Bull or somebody." And I worked there with that. I'm telling you the truth. I ministered there with that girl for I don't know how long. And that was the same result that I got. I never run into a spirit of stubbornness that acted like that. And so I'm looking to the Lord. Now, at the same time, the Lord was teaching me about being led by the Spirit. Maybe this is why God allowed this to happen. I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, there was some kind of faith got a hold of me. It's just like God dropped something down in my spirit. And I heard coming up out of my spirit at that particular time, I said, "You devil," I said, "God's going to burn you out." I said, "My God's a consuming fire." I said, "You're going to feel the fires of God." I said, "Lord," I said, "set that devil on fire." And see, there was some kind of faith came up in my spirit, supernatural, and I said, "You devil," I said, "God is burning you out." I said, "Right now you're feeling the fire of the Holy Spirit." And I'll tell you, when I said that, as I stand before God, when I started speaking like that, that devil started coming out of that posture. He was out on the floor. First thing I know, he was fanning himself like this way and everything, trying to get air. And then I poured it on him. I said, "You stupid devil, you're just fanning the fire." I was having a good time. I said, "Make it hotter, Lord." Praise God. Let me tell you something. And with a loud scream, that devil left and went out, and she was set free. Now, the story had a sad ending, because I thought God had showed me some very real special revelation. I said, "Well, now this is a real way to minister deliverance. Next time I get a group of people, I'm just going to call fire down from heaven and burn them out. I'm going to go and set the whole church on fire. We'll have a time tonight. We'll get everybody delivered." Don't you know something? I ain't never been able to. I only tried it maybe a couple more times, and it didn't work. Understand? But see, the Lord was teaching me something about being led by the Spirit. You understand? And letting the Holy Ghost, direct you. And then I know this now, but I didn't know it then. I just thought it was some special revelation. I said, "Lord, have mercy. I'll burn everything up that don't move." You know, Brother Caleb, I was getting ready to point my finger like them two disciples and call fire down from heaven. Amen. But the Lord let me know, you only operate like this, bless God, when the Spirit of God directs you to. Isn't that beautiful to know that sometimes God will lead you to do something like that? And that's the only time that I remember that God ever led me to do that. But he taught me something, bless God, to just stay open to the Holy Spirit. And I don't care if the devil came from Sitting Bull or Alexander the Great or Hitler or whoever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, you get on it, bless God, in the name of the Lord, it's going to go. There's a way that it'll go out. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. So the Lord lets us know these things. Praise God. So much for ancestral spirits. Matthew 18 tells us very clearly that many of God's people need deliverance because they're walking in unforgiveness. Doesn't he say that he'll turn you over to the tormentors? You know who the tormentors are? Demons, spirits. demon spirits, many of God's people need deliverance because they walk out of love with their brothers and sisters. Okay? Very clear. Now, if they want to get free from the tormentors, they're going to have to forgive, walk in love, ask God to forgive them, and so forth and so on, and get the devils out of them. It's very simple. And let me tell you something. If God's people understood just who those tormentors are, when I say evil spirits, just what types of evil spirits. Brother, let me tell you something right now. You're subject to open yourself up to a devil of cancer or anything else through unforgiveness, through hating, through resenting, through bitterness. Have you ever heard the old saying that hate eats away at you like cancer? There's a lot of truth to that. You just think about that for a moment. There's a lot of truth in that, brother. You open your... And the doctors, medical profession are starting to understand this now. They really are starting to understand it. And they're starting to contact the church now. Amen. And they're getting more insight than the church is. They contact the church with things like this. Church says, what are you talking about? You follow what I'm saying? But it's the truth. Amen. So we see there that in Matthew 18, that God's people can need deliverance because of their failure to walk in love. Mark 16 tells us that we are to cast spirits out of people, but there's always the question, who are the people that you cast them out of? Many people won't deny that Mark 16 says, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth is be damned. In my name they'll cast out devils, heal the sick, speak with new tongues, and so forth and so on. They say, well, you're supposed to cast the devils out of the unbelievers. That's who you're to cast them out of. Well, you're calling Jesus a liar then, because Jesus said, those that believe not will be damned, not be blessed. Isn't that what he said? They'll be damned. I always tell people, what are you talking about? Read it real good. He says, if you believe the gospel and are baptized, you'll be saved. Amen. If you don't believe the gospel, you'll be damned. Simple as that. And they tell me that you're going to cast them out of unbelievers. I always tell folks, I say, you was an unbeliever at one time, wasn't you? And they say, yep. I say, who cast the devils out of you? They say, nobody. Well, was you one of those that didn't have none? You rascal, you don't be telling me that. Because if you tell me you didn't have any, I know, I already discerned a lying devil. You follow what I'm saying? But they say, you know, no, nobody cast them out of me. Well, how'd you get rid of them? Well, I got rid of them as soon as I got saved. Well, who are you supposed to cast them out of? The unbelievers. Well, you just answered your own question. You was an unbeliever. Nobody cast them out of you. If you're not supposed to cast devils out of the people of God, why don't you just go out there and preach to the people and say, listen, don't worry. I don't care what you were involved in. Just get saved as Christ in your life. I don't care how many devils you got. You don't have to worry about it. As soon as you say, Jesus, come into my life, my Lord, and say, they're going to flee. Why don't you just preach like that? A lot of the times the church, that's the way the church does preach. But that's not the way God told us to preach and act. He said, my name cast the devils out. Who do we cast devils out of? Believers. Say it real loud. Believers, children of God. How many here have had devils cast out of them? Amen. How many here have had devils cast out of them as believers? Well, look at everybody stick their hands up. You better watch it. A lot of people tell you you're crazy. You don't mind that, do you? You feel good, don't you? Praise God. The Lord is good.